Thank you for joining us to hear Brother Tommy Ledford and Brother David Clark with The Truth Ministries on the air every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points.
Good morning, everyone. This is David Clark. Welcome to the Truth Ministries radio broadcast. So good to be with you again today. We're celebrating Christmas this week. I hope you're excited. I'm excited, not about toys and all that stuff and presents and gifts and decorations, which I love all those things. My favorite time of the year. I'm excited for Jesus today. I'm excited about what Christmas means. I'm excited about this time of year more than ever. As an adult now, looking at the holiday season is different than it was when I was a child. Appreciate things more, appreciate the simple things of life. I hope that today that you are preparing your heart to worship the Lord, getting up, going to church, and to thank Him for His birth, thank Him for what He's done for us. We're going to be going through the scripture this morning, looking at the birth of Christ. Not only because it's Christmas, but because this is the foundation of our faith. This is the foundation of our belief. And I'm going to go through some key points here this morning, just looking over the story of Christ, some things that we have to get right. There are some things in your Christian faith you cannot get wrong. We can differ on some things. We can have opinions on this or that or whatever. But there are some things when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we've got to get it right. So let's look this morning. I'm going to go kind of chronologically through the Bible, talking about the birth of Christ and the existence of Christ. Go chronologically here. It brings me first to John. John 1, verses 1 through 3. This is how we're going to start this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. This scripture takes us immediately to the truth that Jesus is eternal. Jesus has always been. He was not brought into existence at His birth in the manger. Jesus is just as much God as God the Father, as God the Holy Ghost. He is eternal in existence, eternal in His deity. Jesus Christ came down from heaven to be born of a virgin in a mortal body, but He was alive and existed before that event. So it's very important this morning that you understand from whatever faith that you are, whatever Christian upbringing that you are, that you understand this morning that Jesus is eternal. He always was, and He always will be. Thank God He's alive today, and He's alive forevermore. Now let's read here Luke 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. The angel departed from her. Matthew 1 and 18 reads like this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, the scriptures that I've just read, Luke 1, 26 through 38, and Matthew 1, 18 through 25, explain for us how Jesus Christ came to be born into a fleshly body, how the transfer from Jesus Christ from heaven to earth. Now, Mary, the Bible speaks explicitly that Mary was a virgin. Mary was not married. She didn't know a man. She was pure. And it had to be so because Jesus Christ could not be born of normal human means. The biology, the laws of biology that apply to you and me to be able to be born and conceived and born did not apply to him. He could not come into this world by regular methods because he is holy, because he is sinless, and he had to remain sinless. So he was not born into this life in a sinful manner, you understand. He was born of a virgin, a pure vessel, and she remained a virgin until after she delivered him. It's very important that we understand that because Mary could not be marred. Her body could not be in anything sinful in her body because she was carrying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the angel told Mary that she was going to conceive of the Holy Ghost. Now, it's important that we understand that all of this happened by the Spirit of God. Nothing that took place, this was a miraculous event. Nothing about this was normal. It did not fit in the parameters of what's normal. Now, I know that there have been people that have conceived, that have been told they could not have children, people that have been barren for years and years, but they still were with child of natural methods. You see, it was still biology. But Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was conceived in the Virgin Mary by the supernatural act of the Holy Ghost. This was no ordinary child. This was no ordinary human that was just born by any old sinful manner. This was a holy thing that took place. Now, we have to distinguish this as a holy thing, as a miraculous act of God, because of the deity of Christ, because of his holiness. We have to understand that he was no ordinary person. This was the Lamb of God, the treasure of heaven, put into fleshly robes, been born of a virgin, brought into this life by his own will to take on the sin debt of the world. He could not be just anybody. It had to be Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, this sinless, spotless Lamb. Now, let's read on here. Now, Matthew 1:18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ, we read that, was moved down. Now, all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and then called his name Jesus. Luke 2, 1 through 7 says, It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as a spouse wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. John 1 and 14, I know it's a lot of scripture, but I've got to get all this out here. John 1 and 14 says, and the Word, remember we read in the beginning, was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John 1, 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, we've just covered the scriptures detailing how his birth was announced by angels. Now, we know that he was prophesied in the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah, different ones, spoke of the coming of Christ. They spoke of this Messiah. Now, it's fulfilled in the New Testament with this story here, Mary and Joseph bringing forth this child into the world, and he was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The Word was made flesh. Why is it important that we get this story correct? Why is it important that we know that Jesus Christ was born in this manner? Because, friends, if he had been born any other way, if Jesus had been born of any other means, he would not be the holy Lamb of God. It would not be worthy of him. It would not be a miraculous thing, which was how it had to happen. It was prophesied that this is the way it would take place. God had a plan for the birth of his own son to be given to the world, and it was a thing of holiness. It was a miraculous event. Now, we must believe that Jesus was born of a miraculous condition. We must believe that he was born of a virgin. We must believe that he is the Messiah. We must have this thing rooted in our heart. Otherwise, when we get down the line here, last week we talked about the name of Jesus, how that his name has such power, how that his name has such authority. We have to believe that if all that is true, that has to be true, that he was born of this condition, born of this, in this manner. He was holy, the sinless Lamb of God. It had to be so, because we're going to use his name. We're going to be given his name. We're going to take authority over the enemy in his name. And this is the name we're talking about. The Bible says his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. This is Jesus, the Son of God. Luke 2 and 8 says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The very birth and the very arrival of Jesus being announced by angels. He's been foretold by prophets. His conception was announced by angels. Now his birth is being announced by angels in the fields here, appearing to these shepherds who wanted to go worship him. It's a holy, a miraculous thing. This was God's design. This was God's own design that Jesus Christ have such an entrance. In the physical, in the natural, his birth was such a meager thing. His birth was such a humble thing, laid in a manger there. No room for him in the motels there in Bethlehem. But in the spirit realm, his birth was a royal birth. I mean, this was the Savior of the world. Things were set in motion now that was going to change the course of humanity. When Jesus Christ was born from his mother, they changed the path. It changed the course of humanity in that we no longer had to face the penalty of sin. Now, I know he had to go to the cross and die to take on that, but he came to this world for that purpose. He was raised as a lamb for the slaughter. From the time Jesus was born, he was being raised and prepared and groomed, so to speak, for his ultimate sacrifice, just as in the Old Testament. One lamb for the house. On the Day of Atonement, they'd bring a lamb. They'd present that lamb. They had raised that lamb, fed that lamb, invested in that lamb, and they would offer the lamb to the priest for the sacrifice of the sins for that house. Now, Jesus Christ took the place of that old covenant for that old law. He took the place of that, and he became the sinless lamb for you and I. He was groomed. His whole 33 years on this earth, he was preparing to take on the sin debt. He was preparing to be the sacrifice for sin. But friends, the point I want to get to this morning is that Jesus Christ, the gift of God, the light of heaven, the treasure of heaven, stepped out of his kingly robes. He forsook everything in heaven. He walked out of his own free will, and he chose to be born in fleshly robes. He chose this knowing that we would not love him, knowing that we would not treat him right, knowing that we would not always be faithful to him, knowing that there would be some of us that would reject him, knowing there'd be some of us that would never turn to him. Yet he came anyways, yet he took on this mission anyways because of the love in his heart for us. Now, the Bible says that before we knew him, while we were formed in our mother's womb, he knew us. He loved us. He had a plan for us. Now listen to me. I know that my children, I love them. I have a plan. I have a goal in mind. I'd like to see them reach. I have milestones I'd like to see my children get to. And they're different for each child. But there's things in mind that I'd like to see. But listen, God the Father looked at his son, knowing how the world would mistreat him, and he sent his son anyways. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Now, this was a very large undertaking. This was not just something thought up overnight, friends. This thing, over thousands of years, this was in the making. In the Old Testament, it was already foretold he was coming. In the Old Testament. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ took on the sins of the world, went to that cross. Now, we're at the Christmas story here, but you have to look ahead in time and realize that when Jesus came to this earth, he came with the intentions of completing this good work he started. Why is that important? Because he had to grow from a baby, go through everything babies go through, everything children and adolescents go through, all the temptation of teenage years and young adult life, go through all of the different things that we face as adults. All of those things he had to face. He never sinned, but he still had to face it. He had to wait and suffer all those things. He lived 33 years waiting to fulfill the calling on his life, the mission that God the Father sent him to do. And he did it willingly. Now, why would God go through such an elaborate plan just to bring Jesus into the world to die on that cross? He did that with you in mind, friends. He did that. All the angels announcing his birth, all of the things, the stars shining to lead everybody to him, all of the prophecies that would be fulfilled, everything that took place, friend, he did it with you in mind. This morning, this message basically is a love story to tell you that everything we celebrate at Christmas, all of the things of wonder that we celebrate, the birth of Christ, the angels, the Christmas carols, the manger scenes, all the Christmas plays that we're going to look at, all the things that we talk about, the gift giving and the joy of Christmas, friends, it was all for you. This whole story was for you today. Jesus was born for you. He came willingly to this world for you. It's not just for nothing. This God did not go through all of this trouble and for all this time just because this was a spiraling of events that just took place. This was not some haphazard event in the cosmos out there. There is a plan. There is a will of God to take place, and that will is for you to recognize his love for you. This is the love story of God the Father to us. This is the plan. He loves us with a love that we can't comprehend, that so much that he gave his only son to come down here, step out of heaven, all the wonder up there, everything that the Bible says heaven is, Jesus walked away from that. He took on fleshly robes, was born in the most humble of manners, by the most, in the most unloved conditions. No, the world didn't even have room for him before he was born. They wouldn't even let Joseph and Mary stay in the inn. They turned him away. She was great with child. From the very beginning, they had no room for him. It's not changed. No one has room for him now. No one wants him now. The name of Jesus is not popular now. People deny him. People forsake him. They don't treat him right, don't love him. But he knew all that, and he came here anyways. Why would he do such a thing? Friends, Jesus came for you. He was born for you. He lived and died for you, and he rose again for you. This is the love story of God, from God to the church. He lived and died for you. Now, what does this mean for us? Moreover, brethren, this is 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Friends, this whole story, this whole message, it's for you. It's for me today. What a wonderful gift that Jesus is. What a wonderful Savior that Jesus is. If you've never felt loved by your natural family, if you've never felt wanted by people here, if you've never felt like you belong, friends, there is a place where you belong today. You belong with Jesus. You belong in the family of God. If you've never felt like anybody cared for you, let Brother David tell you some good news today. God cares for you. He loves you today. He went through great length to demonstrate his love for us. He went to great lengths to let us know that during this holiday season, you don't have to be lonely. You don't have to grieve. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be alone. You feel like nobody cares. There's a God in heaven that cares for you. He went through everything. He gave up everything. He stepped out of glory for you. Now, I have not always done what I should do. I have not always treated Christ how I ought to. I have not always made the right choices. I'm sure we could all testify to that this morning. I've done, if you just excuse me being very blunt with you this morning, I've done some dumb things. I've made some unwise decisions. I've made choices that I regret to this day. But friends, Jesus came for us. He died for us. His mercies are renewed every morning. He loves you today, and there's a plan for you. I want to ask you today simply. We're going into the Christmas holiday here this week, and there's no better time than right now. I want to ask you, do you know him today? I don't mean, do you know the story? I mean, is Jesus living on the inside? I mean, have you ever prayed a prayer of repentance, a prayer of salvation, and asked Jesus to take your sin away and repent of your sin and turn from your sin and live a holy life and live a moral life, a good, godly life? Have you devoted your life to him? Have you accepted this gift of Jesus Christ? Really, there's no other point in Brother David being here this morning. There's really no other point of us telling this story if no one's going to believe it and no one's going to trust in Jesus. The highest compliment that you could pay Brother David for being on the radio and different preachers for what they do and lay workers and missionaries and evangelists, the highest compliment you could pay anyone is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that their efforts would not be in vain. Friends, we want you to know him this morning. We want you to love him this morning. We want Jesus to change your life. If you're bound today, Jesus can change your life. If you're addicted to anything today, Jesus can set you free. If you're lonely today, Jesus wants to be your companion. If you're sick in your body, Jesus wants to heal you today. He came here to set the captive free. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to heal the sick and afflicted. Friends, Jesus is still performing these works today. He still loves you today. If you failed him, get back up, brush yourself off, ask him to forgive you, and march on. If you've never known him, now is the time. Jesus Christ loves you today. But friends, this is just part of the story. I don't have time to go into the rest of it, but listen to me. He came one time, and he lived and died. He rose up into heaven. But friends, he's coming again. He's coming again, I tell you, he's coming again. You can watch and you can be ready. You can be looking for that great day when the trump of God shall sound and all the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up in the air. We'll ascend up in the air to be with him. We'll meet the Lord. We'll be taken to heaven and we're going to be with him forever. Now you can go. You can have a place in heaven. You can make it. You can live right. You can be holy. You can follow his commandments. You got to get him in your heart today. You got to ask him to come in. There's no better time. What better way to show Jesus how much you love him than during this Christmas time to accept him into your life to be born again? What better way to celebrate Christmas than to invite Jesus to come live on the inside? What better way to let him know that you love him and you appreciate what he did for you than to celebrate Christmas by making Jesus Lord of your life? Lord Jesus, this is what it takes. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I recognize that I'm in need of a Savior. I recognize that I am all I deserve is hell. But I know that you came to save me. I know that you love even me. And Lord, I pray that you would save me. Wash my sins away. I pray that you'd come live on the inside and make me into what you want me to be. Now, if you pray that and make it your own words, make it personal. Don't just repeat Brother David's prayer. Make it personal and live for him. Read this word of God. Find you a Bible-believing church. You can make it, friends. You can make it. Jesus loves you. He came that you might have life. The Christmas season is not about the lights. It's not about the trees. It's not about the presents. It's about Jesus giving us eternal life. Jesus coming down from heaven, being born of a virgin so that you and I could live with him forever. This was God's love story for us. He loves you today. I'm praying for you. I've got to close this out. Didn't get nearly as far in this as I wanted to. We'll continue next week, perhaps. I'm praying for you. I love you. Come on and be with churches. Be in church with Bethel Holiness Church, 5032 Woodcrest Road. Have a Merry Christmas. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to hear Brother Tommy and Brother David this Sunday. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.com. thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and may God bless you.